Three, two, one, go.
Tom and I can solve Rubik's Cubes really fast. So one day we were like, hey, what if we try solving the world's problems in this crazy speed creative way? And that's what you're listening to right now. Solve Guys Podcast. Done.
10 seconds. Oh, that was just sub 10. Yeah, I'm Tom. This is Ming. Woo. We just tried a new intro where Ming had to sort of explain it to you guys as fast as we could. We don't want to waste time. We're here to solve problems. The world's biggest problems, in fact.
The world's biggest problems. And start with today's veggies. Vegetables.
Eating your vegetables.
It is a big problem. Parents are always telling their kids, eat your vegetables. You can't leave the table yet. You haven't eaten your vegetables.
You've got to eat your vegetables before you have your dessert.
That's exactly right.
But you see the kid spitting out the Brussels sprout in the pot plant next to the table. It's a classic problem.
Man, but if there's like, you know, lemonade or chips or like chicken wings, man, you never have to tell kids to eat that.
It's like, does KFC serve vegetables with the chicken? That's not the way God intended chicken to be eaten.
But when it comes to broccoli or eggplant, asparagus.
Look, I'm a big sprouts. Vegetable person, but there's a line. There's a distinct line in the sand where Brussels sprouts sits on another side or some certain vegetables just, you know, are left on the supermarket shelf, in my opinion.
But we're going to solve that problem today. If you've got kids, you want to be listening, we're going to solve your and their problems. If you have an issue with vegetables, you want to keep listening because we're going to change the world. We're going to show you that you actually can have your cake and eat it.
You can have your cake and eat it.
And by cake, we mean vegetables.
We mean vegetables,
That's right.
Thank you to Daily Puzzles for sponsoring this episode and all of our Solve Guys Season 2. More about that later. We're Speed Cubers and we're going to hook you guys up with some puzzles, with some fun toys.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like vegetables.
Like vegetables.
Well, they don't sell vegetables.
They sell Rubik's Cubes and puzzles.
But I think having a Rubik's Cube in your life is part of a balanced diet.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay, not eating your vegetables, it's a classic age-old problem.
And it's not just a problem for kids.
Yeah.
Because apparently most adults, and that's you watching and listening, you're not eating your veggies. Apparently there are some who even never touch, like once, you know, mom or dad is telling them to eat the vegetables anymore. I actually know someone who eats, I don't know, maybe like 10 grams of vegetables a year, if that.
I have one friend like that as well. And I'm like, how are you still alive?
Yeah, that's right. So I checked the Australian Bureau of Statistics because they track things like these.
Apparently
a few years ago, it was something like 7.5% of all adults were meeting the recommended daily intake of vegetables.
Only 7%.
And then when they repeated that, like the next year, it was 6.5%. It's going down.
That's not good. What's the deal, guys?
It's not good, guys. And the age group that's least likely to eat their vegetables, 12 to 13-year-olds. Does it surprise you, Tom?
Darn kids.
Hey, did you eat your vegetables as a 12-year-old?
I did.
Oh, wow.
I'm the outlier. I'm the 6%. I've always liked vegetables, I think.
Well, I mean, you're like, you know, hashtag veggie garden.
Hashtag, my previous solutions in the last season, everyone that's knows. Right. I'm like, hashtag living to 120 because of how well I eat.
Yeah, that's right. And you don't get to look this good just by eating junk food.
You think junk food grew out these logs? Yeah,
that's exactly right. But yeah, vegetables, man, oh man. I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with them. Like there's some I really love, but the ones I hate, I really hate.
Yeah, and I think that's fair enough, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we're going to try and fix that and get you guys, you 92% of people to eat some veggies. And oh no, what is this?
Hey Tom, if you're just listening, I just brought out a beautiful plate or a chopping board of vegetables and we're gonna eat them. So I have two green beans.
Oh.
They're pretty high on the list apparently.
Really? Of people not liking them?
My kids, for example, are not fans of beans. They're also not fans of peas. And they're like, this is both because it's got like the little bean inside, which they think is like a pea. And I'm like, come on, beans.
Grow up. Seriously, what are you, a kid? Grow up.
They're good for your heart, right?
This is one of the vegetables I've actually had growing in our veggie garden.
Oh, beans.
In the last year, green beans.
We're going to eat it raw. We're going to eat it raw live.
Cheers, dink it and sink it.
Yep.
Seriously?
Just not raw.
This is like a staple in a lot of Southeast Asian food as well.
You're not wrong.
Like pancit or lots of noodle dishes.
It's blanched or it's like really, really quickly cooked.
Mm.
Oh, I don't know. Tom's just going for it.
I'm going for seconds, thirds. I'll finish your bean if you don't want to.
No, you finish my bean. Yep. I'm probably going to smell the results of that in a few minutes, Tom.
I love the raw freshness of it. Cooked green beans are great, but raw, it's like still a bit cold, crunchy. I love it.
How about celery?
Yeah.
Celery. Wait, I'm about to crack Tom's neck. Are you ready? Apparently they use
chiropractic like foley and stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, how would you usually eat celery? Have you guys dipped this in hummus? I would
definitely dip it in something.
French onion. Yeah.
I don't mind celery in stews. Like once it's cooked and it gets kind of soft.
In our Brisbane summer competition the other weekend, we got Chinese for dinner afterwards and they had celery. I'd never had that before.
Ooh.
I never had cooked celery like that.
Wow. What, did you like it?
Yeah, but it was like kind of sweet. It was nice. It was nice.
Yeah, wow.
A bit unexpected.
Well, cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Yeah, that's enough for me.
Mm.
Oh. No.
Sorry, if anyone, close your ears if you don't like the chewing sounds, because this is getting a little ASMR-y.
Mm. See, as an adult, I will bear with it. I hate it as a kid. To be polite in front of other people's company, I'll eat it.
If I was like, Ming, I've worked all day to grow the celery and cook it and make it for you, would be like, oh, that's Tom, that's great.
Thank you, but I do not enjoy it. I'm eating it just because I know that it probably is good for me in some way, but I do not enjoy it.
It can't be that good for you, though, because it just tastes watery and it's definitely like 99% water.
I don't know what's going on.
There can't be too much nutrition, but I like it.
What happened to the rest of your celery stick?
Oh, I'll finish that.
No, like yours. What happened to you?
Did you eat the whole thing? Wait, what? It was great. I loved it. I wasn't kidding you guys. I like veggies.
He's a man of the land.
That line in the sand I was talking about.
This is a Brussels sprout.
This is my first time. I've never eaten a Brussels sprout.
Actually, it's also raw.
Yeah.
I think it might be better when cooked or like baked or, grilled in some way.
I'm sure if you season this and grilled it, it could be great. I've heard like the classic like British cuisine is just like boiled or steamed nothing. With maybe a bit of salt. That sounds gross.
But you can eat it raw. I don't know how many of our listeners or viewers are fans of Brussels sprout, but we are about to just bite straight into one right now.
Audio listeners, just raw Brussels sprouts going in.
Here we go.
Hmm.
I think because I was expecting
took a bite. This is small Brussels sprout. Thing. I took a big bite.
I think because I expected it to be so bad. It's not as horrifically like vomiting yucky bad as I thought it was going to be, but it's still not great.
It just tastes like cabbage. It makes sense because it looks like a mini cabbage. If you ever eaten raw cabbage?
Yeah.
That's what it tastes like.
Coleslaw and stuff. Yeah. But I mean, never would I sit down and be like, you know what I feel like right now?
Mom, did you make Brussels sprouts?
Do you know what would really make my day if I had Brussels sprouts? The palate needs to be cleansed. Man, oh man.
But there it is. You guys saw it live or on YouTube, my first Brussels. Yeah, that was not too bad, actually.
But if you had to describe the taste of Brussels sprouts to someone, like how would you describe it?
It tastes like similar to cabbage raw. It tastes like it shouldn't be eaten. Yeah. Like it's a part of a plant.
It literally feels like you just like picked up a blade of grass or a leaf from a bush and you just started like munching on it. It's bitter.
But I can imagine a nice bake, a drizzle of honey, some paprika. I'm sure you could make that nice.
If you did all you could to just remove the taste of the actual thing, I'm sure it would taste great.
Anything can just be a palate for sugar and spices.
Well, the reason why many vegetables don't actually taste good, especially leafy vegetables, is because they are just bitter. They're objectively bitter tasting. And humans, I believe, to have bitter taste receptors because it makes us, this is what, scientists, biologists have proposed, because it makes us spit out toxins or poisons that we eat. Because many of those are bitter. And so this is just a feature, a characteristic of humans that has enabled our survival that we spit bitter things out.
Plant survival as well, right? Like plants
have
grown to try and make sure that predators don't eat them so they can survive. So they would want to make themselves taste worse.
And so the bitter taste in the plants is also a defense mechanism. Mm. It's like, this is not meant to be like both sides. We shouldn't be eating vegetables. They are not meant to be eaten.
But Ming, it feels so right, I tell you. It does. It's delicious. Not the Brussels sprout, but.
To make things worse, there's also a genetic predisposition that apparently like up to a quarter of the human population has something actually in your DNA that you can blame because you end up tasting bitterness much more than the average person.
Okay.
Yeah. It's no wonder that we're not touching vegetables. Of course, not all veggies are bad. I mean, what's your favorite?
I do like a bit of capsicum, pepper.
Really?
You know, it's a bit sweet. You can grill it. You can put it in stews or
Would you eat it raw?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, goodness gracious. Growing up, that was probably at the bottom of my list.
Really?
I hated capsicum. Right now, I can deal with it. Again, it's not, you know, when I come home from a big day, it's not like, hey, what's in the fridge? Capsicum is like bite into it like an apple. But I'll eat it cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potato has got to be a big one for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because potato absolutely makes chips.
It feels like it's not a vegetable, though.
It's like a cheat code vegetable, yeah.
Yeah. Because I'd just order like fries from Macca's.
Starchy.
And just be like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a different kind of veggie.
For me, it's probably the old carrot.
Carrot, okay.
Carrots are great. I'm a big fan of carrots, raw or cooked. Yeah. They're just sweet.
If you don't mind that crunch, yeah, you can just bite into it.
They're pretty great. Your least favorite, though? I mean, I thought Brussels sprout might be one of them.
I think it might be one of them.
You seemed to actually semi-enjoy it.
Yeah, I will have to say olives, actually, come to think of it.
Yeah.
I don't have anything against olives. There's just such an intense salty taste.
Yeah.
Maybe I have a predisposition of that because something so salty in such a small package, I'll like have it in a salad, you know, like you think it's hidden and then it hits you, you're like, way too salty. So
that's how a lot of people describe me, actually. Very salty in a small package. I'm not a big fan of rocket, you know.
Oh, that's
like leafy rocket. It is just when you're eating like a nice leafy salad,
so bitter,
and then you suddenly get hit by rocket.
What's the deal with restaurants? Some of them, like their garden salad, is just rocket.
It's just rocket.
They don't even put lettuce or at least spinach is like in between. Spinach.
Man. I think nutritionally it's even better.
But rocket, like, what's the deal?
Get your act together. Fix it. It's not good enough, restaurants.
Nobody wants rocket and like ranch dressing. Are you kidding?
Nobody wants that.
We're getting heated. This is an intense episode.
That's not even the problem. We are going to solve the problem of vegetables tasting bad, but somehow still having to be part of our diet to, you know, health and nutrition.
Living this living thing, whatever.
We're going to solve that problem today, so keep on listening. Okay, it's time to solve the problem. And because every episode needs to have a winner, that's the point of solve, guys.
It's all about winning.
It is for me to dominate over Tom.
To bully. And
As you know, we have a neutral judge, SolveBot 3000, who joins us every single episode, who will listen carefully to what we're going to say and decide who gave the better solution. So let's check in with SolveBot. SolveBot, you there, buddy? How are you going?
Hi, Ming and Tom. I've just been chilling in the cyberverse, solving problems and taking no prisoners.
Huh?
I'm looking forward to today's episode and helping you mortals decide who gave the best solution using my superior intelligence. All the best.
Is something about SolveBot getting a little more ominous every episode?
That's a lot of attitude, too. This is really like passive aggression.
But hey, so far they have been, you know,
neutral.
Not partial. We've won all at
the
moment.
Very neutral. We've both won one episode. So let's see. This will be a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
This one. We're going to see who gave the better solution. Tom, would you like to kick things off?
I would love to kick things off.
Yep.
One more thing that we sort of glossed over is that there are eating disorders that are kind of new in science that people are averse to vegetables as well, right?
So more than just saying, I don't like vegetables.
More than just saying them.
They're an actual, like, you know, psychological thing.
Yeah, it's called avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. And it can be like colors, textures, taste, or smells of something. It could just be a lack of appetite as well. And we're not like fully know what the cause is, but it can be in genes, a person's temperament, or like something that happened, like a choking incident, right? In childhood or something.
And so this is a recognized disorder.
Yeah. And so there still isn't a treatment to it besides just therapy with a, you know, doctor, a therapist, a nutritionist working through that. But, you know, one thing that I think has helped me like vegetables all my life was just them being prepared well. Seasoning, hiding vegetables, cooking them well. We just ate them raw.
Hiding vegetables. You mean like hide and seek with vegetables? You hide it under your pillow?
Put it behind a jar in the cupboard so you can't find it. No. But I even have a little something, a little surprise for you soon, right?
Whoa. Not more vegetables.
Yeah.
I still have Brussels sprout, like the taste in my mouth, and I'm not.
Mm. Sorry. Don't mind me snacking.
Oh, man. I just made it worse. I thought celery would just like replace the Brussels sprout flavor, which it did. But it's like replaced a bad thing with another bad thing.
But can you blame us? Because like as a kid, if you have to eat some of this raw stuff, that's gross. Who would want to eat vegetables?
Yeah,
that's why
I agree.
I'm proposing as a parent or as an adult cooking for yourself, you got to do some cooking. And I'm sure some of you are like, wait, people eat unseasoned food? People eat raw vegetables?
Yeah, if you're a rabbit.
Like some of you guys probably have never had this problem, but I can say on behalf of all white people.
Okay. You're going to go there?
I'm going to go there. Obviously not, but I'm sure a lot of you have had similar experiences. When I used to go to my grandparents, it seemed like every single day they ate the same two meals for lunch and dinner, right?
Yeah.
Like a leg of ham or a roast chicken, and the side of vegetables is literally iceberg lettuce, cucumber, carrot, tomato, separate. Yep. They don't even touch each other. It's like this 1950s vegetable, and I can't blame people for not wanting to eat
it's
them when
the
it's
classic,
like that.
Like mean three veg. Just like
three veg, and then it's like just peas and carrots and broccoli, you know, all steamed.
Yeah.
The only seasoning is like the Herbamare on the table that you season
salt,
on yourself.
Maybe
right?
A bit of salt.
A bit of salt.
Yeah.
I was talking to my grandfather, and I mean, he's like just turned 76 or something.
Wow.
He has never eaten a curry.
Wow.
Or noodles in his life, right? Mm-hmm. It's like this whole other generation. Yep. And so I think we need to change that. And I mean, a lot of cultures know how to cook.
Yep. do they tell? He's blowing my mind with
I'm
these
gonna
facts.
I'm going to say that. And so we need to prepare this, hide the vegetables in food so that kids eat it. Because like we said, they should be eating it for nutritional value.
Yeah, wow.
A lot of new science is coming out where like your gut microbiome as well, which is formed around what you eat, is suggesting that more variety of vegetables, eating like 30 plus different vegetables a month improves your microbiome as well as like just, you know, your fiber intake, your vitamins and nutrients. It's good, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a parent, I have heard like one tip is like, you know, eat the rainbow.
I can eat a rainbow.
Mm. And so like have different colors represented on the plate. And so 100%. You don't want to have a plate that's just like all orange or even all green. Like you might think, oh, this is super healthy. But so, no, just eating like green, super like healthy looking vegetables. You're not actually getting the variety that which you just talked about.
But essentially, my solution is that we just need to prepare things well and hide these veggies. And my little surprise for you, Ming, is in this little bowl. Audio listeners, it's a, how would you describe that? It looks like some sort of vegetable puree. I have made a pasta marinara sauce.
Ooh. And I was going to ask, like, do you feed your cat like food out of the same bowl?
Look, if this was with pasta, it looks great. It's just unfortunately on its own with a baby spoon in it. It's giving a little bit of baby puree vibes.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it smells like pasta sauce.
But how's it smell? No, this is legit.
So you've hidden stuff in this. Yeah. That's what you mean by hiding veggies.
I mean, there is 8 different vegetables in this.
Can I try and guess what they are?
Yeah. And I mean, there's obviously going to be a few staple ones that you will already know are in here. There's also a few, that's 8, not including some other herbs and spices that I've not
Why do you have to serve it to me using a baby spoon?
Mainly because I wanted to, but this is a great excuse, right? We want to feed kids vegetables. So this is a homemade, you know, if you guys want to ask for the recipe later, depending on Ming's reaction, but I just thought it would be fun. We've got a baby spoon and basically for listeners, I'm going to feed Ming like a small infant.
I've never been more humiliated in my life.
Here comes the airplane. Ming.
No.
There's no veggies in this.
No.
It's just a yummy Italian sauce. What do you think?
Too much salt.
Too much salt.
Yo, man, that's good stuff. Did you actually make this?
Yeah, I made that just before you arrived.
Chef Tom.
But there is 8 different vegetables in that.
All right.
Would you ever tell a kid? There's no way a kid would know. They would think, oh, it's just like just a yummy tomato sauce.
It just tastes like pasta sauce. That's right. Especially if this was with spaghetti or something. Like, you're just thinking of like, it's just food. Because you can't see like this whole Brussels sprout sticking out. You can't see like, you know, a whole bean or something. Okay. Well, let's start with onion.
Yes.
I reckon there's carrots in there.
Yes.
It's capsicum.
Yep. I think the capsicum taste came through a lot, but that's, I think kids will like that. It's a little sweet.
No, but it goes with pasta sauce. It works. Cheating a little bit because I'm trying to see if I can see little bits of stuff. It's hard because you blended them really well. I'm going to say there's zucchini in there.
Yes. That's 4.
Yep. That's already 50%.
That's 50%.
I'm happy to take the pass.
There is one massive thing that has to be in pasta sauce. Tomato, obviously. Okay,
it's tomatoes, yep. Did you put garlic? Oh, it's garlic.
Yep, garlic. I counted that as a vegetable. Okay, yeah, there's garlic.
I don't know. You got me.
There's just two more. And
wait,
I don't
celery?
Think,
you put celery in here?
No, I didn't. Yep. These last two, all the others, you know, could pass in a pasta sauce quite easily. The last two are like, you know, a little weird. They are pureed in there, so you would have no like visible signs of it.
No visible signs.
I got like a hand mixer and pureed most of it, besides some tomato and onion, which is floating around there. And those two are eggplant and sweet potato.
No way.
Yeah. But you would never know. Sweet potato as well. Like, you would have no idea.
No way.
Because it's just pureed in. But
I'm not actually a big fan of eggplant.
Okay, so I got you there.
You got me real good. I actually cannot taste it.
Because you were talking about eggplant before as one of the bad vegetables. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get this sucker.
I cannot taste it. Sweet potato, really?
There was a lot more tomato. Yeah, then, like, there's a full carrot in there, a full zucchini.
I was finishing this whole thing.
Like, a good amount of sweet potato and a whole eggplant. Like,
if every episode of Solve Guys involved you feeding me, I might actually enjoy.
I'll just
coming
keep
to hang
talking
out with
to the audience, and you can just sit there mukbanging in the background.
I wish you guys could taste this. This is good.
The next problem, all the emails are going to be like, "Can you guys solve eating into the mic?" Because that's a real thing. It doesn't bother me much, but so many people like even have like irrational phobias of like mouth. There's a diagnosis for it. I don't know, but the mouth slapping or eating sounds.
This man's a chef. He's a psychologist. He's a problem solver. What more could you ask for?
I'm a solve guy. That's
he
what
is
we do
a solve
here.
Guy. Yeah.
So I think that pretty much proves my solution.
Yep.
Ming just finished that whole bowl like a good little baby eating his puree.
It was great.
If Ming can eat an eggplant, your kids can eat that. You can eat that.
Yeah.
I mean, unless. If you're diagnosed with like an eating disorder, then you need to get resources and it will be a long, more of a process,
yeah,
right?
And absolutely, like trained professionals whose job is to help people. But otherwise, that's a brilliant solution.
If you're just someone that wants to introduce more veggies into your diet and you're not used to eating so many, I think that's a great way to get in a bunch of veggies in one go.
It's such a good solution that I'm actually starting to feel sorry for you now because... like I feel bad that I'm gonna beat that solution
with mine.
Yeah, that's right. But hey, that's how
the
game works.
The vegetable crumbles.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Hey Ming, here's a problem. There has to be a bunch of people listening that don't think that they can solve a Rubik's Cube. What would your solution to them be?
The solution I think is easy. Just give it a go. I have a bunch of puzzles in front of me right now that I can solve, but just a few years ago, I didn't even know what they were. But do you know what my first step was? I went online to dailypuzzles.com.au and I ordered myself a 3x3 speed cube. One thing led to another. I now have a 2x2, a 5x5, a Mega Minx, a Pyraminx. I even have a rabbit.
What is this? All of these puzzles and way, way, way more are available at dailypuzzles.com.au. They have fast, helpful customer service, ship internationally, so no matter where you are, you can order your first cube today.
Not just that, they've given us, just for our listeners, a special discount code, SOLVEGUYS. If you put that into dailypuzzles.com.au's checkout, you're going to save money. And who doesn't want to save money?
It's so simple. So thank you to Daily Puzzles for sponsoring this episode. And now back to the show.
But it's time for my solution.
Take your time.
Here's my solution. Why would you force yourself to deal with the bitterness of vegetables if you could remove the bitterness altogether. If you can just remove that bitter flavor. Thanks to genetic engineering, we can literally change the taste of vegetables without reducing the nutritional value.
Okay.
Allow me to explain.
We can?
Oh, we totally can. So already over time, right? We have used selective breeding. Yep. We have changed crops and different vegetables and fruit, their taste, their size, their appearance over time, so that you pick the sweetest, the juiciest of, you know, this harvest, and then you plant them, you know, for the next season. So that, for example, even Brussels sprouts, apparently, they're so different from how they used to be.
Really?
They're actually a lot more palatable now than how they used to be.
Even where they grow and how well they grow has actually like saved lives in Asia, right? With genetically modified rice.
That's right. No, but what I'm talking about with selective breeding isn't even genetic modification. This is just over centuries, over millennia, like we've been doing this. But now we have the tools.
Selective breeding vegetables.
It turns out that scientists have been able to identify the exact chemical that causes the bitterness.
Mm.
And if you just work backwards, right, the part of the vegetable's DNA that codes for it. And so, I mean, I'm simplifying it heaps here. And so using clever gene splicing or editing, for example, using CRISPR, we talked about CRISPR in an episode in season one, we can do little changes and honestly, very small changes to the genetic code and voila, better tasting vegetables.
Now, when you say better tasting vegetables, is this going to be like, oh, it's like a Brussels sprout, but it just tastes like lettuce? Or is it going to be like, oh, it's a Brussels sprout and it tastes like fried chicken?
like Willy Wonka style.
Yeah, Willy Wonka. It tastes like pure gold chocolate.
Well, I mean, that is some concerns that like, if you're going to say yes to that, then where's this going to lead, right? Are we eventually going to have like, hey, here's a Brussels sprout. You eat it and it's like, no, that was a chocolate Easter egg.
Be like, Ming, you're turning green, Ming.
That's right.
Wonka, yeah.
I don't like the look of it.
Well, like I said, small changes. And all we're talking about here is just changing the flavor without impacting all the nutritional goodness that's still inside. And I actually didn't know this until I started researching. In 2023, in the US, this happened. So a company called Pairwise released a mustard green, mustard green there. I looked for like alternative names and it says Gai Choy.
Okay.
It's like a Chinese leafy vegetable.
Yeah.
Like that's you know, one place it comes from. And it's been engineered to taste significantly less bitter than the original.
Interesting.
The line of veggies, they call it Conscious Greens. And it's the first CRISPR edited food to hit the US market.
Huh.
And
okay.
Probably not the last. So it's out there.
It's
happening.
That's so interesting. And I've also heard scientists looking into doing this the other way, right? Mm. Like adding more nutrients to other foods.
Yep.
So I do like the solution that it can kind of go both ways.
Mm.
And we can either make veggies more tasty or tasty foods more nutritionally dense, right? Yep. So
yeah, that's Willy Wonka again, right?
It's kind of weird.
Violet's chewing gum.
I've tried it on like 20 Oompa Loompas and each one ended up as a blueberry. It's just weird.
But I can't have a blueberry as a daughter.
And then it's like you have the full like three course meal. Just like chewing the blueberry dessert pie. I mean, yeah, we don't want you to blow up and become purple at the very end. But yeah, we're just working
just
out
a good parts, yeah. A few small kinks, so.
That's right. The crazy thing I found out is that this food actually isn't considered a GMO. So it doesn't need to be labeled a GMO because genetically modified organism, the definition for that is that you've actually inserted genes that came from somewhere else. And so like you said before, if we wanted to like express a DNA that contains more vitamin C or something, you needed to take that gene from like a different organism and insert it.
Yeah.
That's a GMO. But in this case, because we've just used CRISPR, for example, to literally just do an edit, like delete one word.
Yeah.
There's no foreign DNA. We've sort of edited it, but it's not a GMO.
It's just removing a gene. So will there be another name for that or they won't label it at all?
You're right. Hey, like I reckon that, you know, FDA, for example.
Yeah, they will come in with something.
Yeah, different agencies will have to think of like how you would let the consumer know that it's been modified because some people may not like that. But I mean, it's way safer, we think.
Yeah.
No lawsuit or anything has happened yet with Pairwise.
Genetically enhanced flavor.
Mm.
Jeff. Let's eat Jeff's.
That's right. So that is my solution. I think let's not try and, you know, grin and bear it. If you don't like the world, you don't change. Just change the world.
The world changes for you.
Yeah, make the problem is out there. It's not in you. Just be the stubborn eater that you are and change the world.
I think that would be great, though, for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably wouldn't buy them because I'm happy with my vegetables.
You are.
But no, that's I like that solution.
Yep. But the question is, does SolveBot 3000 like the solution?
That's the question.
It's technology. You would surely technology would like technology.
Maybe SolveBot 3000 is like anti-GMO
or
conspiracy theorist, though. So
I hope not.
Let's find out.
Let's find out.
But first,
let's destroy your ego by defeating you in a 3x3 one-handed head-to-head.
Rolling up the sleeves, this is getting serious.
I came so close in episode one. I made a little boo-boo and you took that one. But in episode two, we tied.
We tied.
Like the exact millisecond. And so
I still want to see the replay, but I'll give you that tie. No.
Based on that trajectory, we are going to see.
But you want a fair and square win. You want a
victory today. And you're not going to hold back, right?
No. I was playing around. I was just like trying to build you up, make you think you could beat me at the start of the season. And now the next.
It's going
to
happen today.
All the episodes, I'm going in hard now with this one-handed.
Do it. It doesn't scare me. Here we go.
Three, two, one, go. For the audio listeners, I'm onto PLL. Oh, Ming is onto OLL. Here I go. Couple more seconds. Done.
How are you onto PLL that quick? I finished with a YPAM. That's just not fair. No one likes a YPAM.
Unlucky.
Unlucky is exactly right. It wasn't for any lack of skill.
Yeah,
it
just luck. Little
pure luck that you won today. Fine. You have it for one more episode.
Yeah.
But you guys in Team Ming, episode 4, I promise you.
Do not. When it's gonna don't happen. Even. No, there's no teams. We're all Team Solve guys. But if there was teams, Team Tom would be winning. So just know that.
SolveBot 3000, if you're still there, would you be happy to tell us who won today's episode?
Hi, Solve guys. The time has come for me,
yes.
SolveBot 3000, to announce the winner. My judgment is final, and if you disagree, I shall spit you out like the little Brussels sprout that you are.
What is happening?
Ming and Tom both offer creative solutions to make vegetables more appealing, and each has its own merits.
Yep.
Tom's idea of using recipes with hidden vegetables is a creative way to incorporate them into meals without a direct focus on their taste.
Guess so.
Blending vegetables into sauces or stews maintains their nutritional value while potentially making them more palatable, especially for those who are resistant to the taste of certain vegetables.
Yep,
while
like
Ming's idea of genetically modifying vegetables is an interesting avenue for research,
it
may not be as immediately accessible or realistic for widespread implementation. Tom's solution, on the other hand, can be easily adopted by individuals and families in their daily lives.
Therefore,
the winner of this episode is Tom.
Yes!
Congratulations, and let's make vegetables great again.
Make vegetables great again. There's something fishy going on, like every episode. I'm like, But I will take that win 2-1 to me. Look, I guess I'm the vegetable guy. I got the vegetable crown,
the
veggie crown for the rest of the season, unless you can somehow beat my vegetable
powers.
All
I can say is that we're only 3 episodes in. We've got plenty more incredible problems to solve.
Lots of time to catch up.
I'm just going to have to up my game.
Well, I think that just about wraps it up. Thank you again to Daily Puzzles.
A part of a balanced diet. Dailypuzzles.com.au. Yeah. Rubik's Cubes. Get them into your life right now.
We hope you enjoyed our short ad for them earlier and consider shopping with them, support them and the podcast. Other than that, if you have more problems for us to solve in the future, as we always say, leave a comment below or you can email us at solveguys@tingman.com.au.
Big guest coming next week.
Ooh, yes.
Yep.
Maybe
when I say big, I mean the goat.
The goat.
Yep.
And it's not a goat.
It's the goat.
It's the goat, just to be clear.
That's right.
Bah. Is that what goats say? Are they the same as sheep?
Well,
anyways,
I think we can safely say... Problem solved.
Problem solved.